बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
हरे कृष्ण नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरव भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो विल कंटिन्यू द डिस्कशन। सो वी सॉ that Kapiladeva is answering the question asked by Mother Devahuti, how can I achieve liberation? And in response he has given the path of Adhyatmik Yoga, and in that Adhyatmik Yoga he mentions that of the three paths of Adhyatmik Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga and Bhakti, Bhakti is the superior, and that bhakti can be achieved by association of sadhus. And he gave the symptoms of sadhus, and then he says tayete sadhavas sadvi sarva sanga vivarjita sangasteshu atate prartya sanga dosha harahite. These are the symptoms of a sadhu. If you identify such a sadhu, Sangasteshu Atate Prartya, you take his association, and Sangha Dosha Harahite, and your desire of getting liberated from faulty material association will be accomplished by taking the association of such a sadhu. So Sangha Dosha Hara, they can destroy the faults of material association. In the devotional language, this is called anarthana vritti. So if you take their association, you can be free from anarthas. Okay, this is where we ended in the morning session. So Kapiladev now continues, but he says, please, even though your purpose is served, but don't stop there, because the association of devotees can give you much more than liberation. So that he continues in the 25th verse, famous verse. Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkarna rasayana kata tajoshanada shvapavarga vartmani shraddharatir bhaktir anukramishyati. So he says, satam prasangat. Again, prasangat means from association with very highly qualified devotees. Prakrishta rupena sangha. Very highly qualified devotees. Mama virya samvido, which means he said, till now you can achieve anartha nivritti. Your anarthas can be removed. Sangha dosha harahite, by the association of devotees. But it can give you more if you continue to take their association. He says, mama virya samvido. Samvido means realization. Samyak vido, completely understanding or realizing the pastimes of the Lord. So realization of the pastimes of the Lord, it happens at the stage of nishta. So that's what he is indicating here. So nishta is implied here, bringing the devotee to nishta. Then he says, but if you continue to take their association, bhavanti hritkarana rasayana kata, if you continue to take their association, then that same association of devotees can give you taste. So, ruchi, at the stage of ruchi, the activities of devotional service become pleasant or pleasurable. So taste for practice comes not even at the stage of nishtha. So one does not, if one thinks that, you know, one, let me get taste, then I will engage, then it is not right, it is an illusion. Because it is mentioned that this taste does not come even at the stage of nishtha. Rather, at the stage of nishtha, the person practices devotional limbs in a very regulated way, even though he does not have taste. And he is rewarded with taste in the next stage of ruchi. So, at the stage of anarthanavritti, also there is no taste. And the sadhaka thinks, oh, do I really have to do it? Last night I slept quite late. Do I really have to get up for Mangalarti? So that is anarthanavritti is still going on. But when the anarthanavritti is over, is accomplished to a particular level, to a particular threshold, beyond which whatever remaining anarthas do not affect steady practice of bhakti. So anarthanavritti does not mean all anarthas are completely gone. It means they are gone beyond a particular threshold, so that it does, the practitioner's steady practice of bhakti is not affected. He can steadily practice. So at the stage of nishtha, he is thinking, I have to do it. Dutiful performance of one's devotional activities is there. I don't like it, but doesn't matter. I have to do it. And then, at the stage of ruchi, he is thinking, I get to do it. He is excited about doing it because he has been rewarded that taste. So that is the stage of ruchi. Then, after the stage of ruchi, he is not even thinking in terms of whether I like it or not. He is thinking, Krishna likes it. Does Krishna like it? Would Krishna like if I perform this activity? So, he is thinking along those lines. So, that is asakti. Asakti means attachment to the beloved. Ruchi means taste for the activity. Asakti means attachment to the object of pleasure. So, and then he is knocking on the doors of bhava. So that is spiritual emotions. Bhava and prema. So that's what is indicated here. Satam prasangan mama virya samvidau. Even after the stage of anarthanavritti, if you continue to take the association of devotees and hear Krishna Katha in their association, then he says, mama virya samvidau. You can, the pastimes of the Lord become, can be realized, directly realized. So this is like a, in one sense it's like a common sense principle, because unless one steadily performs any activity, one cannot develop any kind of realization. Even from a mundane perspective, if unless one can, one has steadily performed, so that person cannot realize, you know, what is the effect of such a performance. So only steady performance can give realization. So therefore, in this verse we have seen the second canto, Shrinvata Shraddaya Nityam Granatascha Swacheshtitam Kalena Nati Dirgena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. So Srila Prabhupada translates Swacheshtitam as one's own endeavor. So endeavor indicates lack of taste, because if taste is there, one need not endeavor to perform that activity. It gets automatically performed. So this swachesta is there even at the stage of anartha navritti, till the stage of nishta also. And in Madhurya Kadambini, Srila Vishwanatha Jagat Thakur mentions what are the symptoms of nishta. Very interesting. So he says, nishta means to be endowed with the quality of steadiness or non-movement. Steadily keep on performing day in and day out. Okay. But one cannot achieve steadiness because he is troubled by 5 anarthas. He says, these 5 anarthas are laya. Laya means while performing any devotional activities, if one feels sleepy, it is called laya. Vikshepa. Vikshepa means the mind getting distracted here and there. That is the second obstacle. And the third is apratipatti. Apratipatti means there is neither I am feeling sleepy nor I am feeling distracted, but still I don't want to do that activity. So I have some extra time. Okay, why don't you chant 1 or 2 extra rounds? Not right now. Why? Are you feeling sleepy? No. Are you feeling distracted? Are you thinking of something else? No. Just that I don't want to do it now. So it's temporary, of course, it's not permanent. Then permanent loss of taste means he has lost his shraddha only. So it's like a temporary lack of taste for doing some activities. So it's, there are very few people that I have seen, immediately as soon as they get some free time, they chant some extra rounds or something like that. It's difficult because in general, lack of taste, apratipatti. And then kashaya. Kashaya means tendency towards bad habits, previously acquired and currently acquiring also. And rasaswada. Rasaswada means taste for material enjoyment. So Srila Vishwanatha Jagat Thakur says, if these 5 symptoms are there, then one should understand that one has not reached the stage of nishta. Which means one is not yet practicing steady devotional service. Which means one still have to work to attain the stage of steady devotional service. So I'll just come to the last point. One thing that he mentions is that, in summary, what has been shown is that laxity or intensity of effort and difficulty or ease in performance of devotional activities such as hearing and chanting is the criteria of discriminating the 2 types of bhakti, namely steady and unsteady. So which means, if there is any laxity in one's performance of service, a person at nishta immediately if he feels chanting difficult, then he puts cheshta to make it steady. If he feels hearing difficult, then he puts cheshta to make it steady. Whereas a person who has not yet reached the stage of nishta, he is little lax. If he finds hearing or chanting difficult, then he doesn't put that much cheshta to make it steady. Effort. So, what makes one transcend the level of anartha nivritti to the level of nishta is that cheshta, conscious effort to make it steady. So when that is there, then ruchi is rewarded. Taste for chanting or hearing is rewarded. So when we say, when we hear people saying that so many years I have been chanting but still I have not developed taste for chanting, it's given here that when chanting is difficult, if the person has put cheshta to steady it, then over a period of time taste will be rewarded. But if one sits and waits for taste to descend, then it will never descend. So therefore, it is mentioned here that at this stage of nishta only, one develops mama virya samvido. That the topics of the Lord become realized only at the stage of nishta. And then, when he continues to hear, then those very same pastimes which he had been dutifully hearing suddenly becomes very tasteful for his ears and mind. Bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata tajoshanat. If he continues to hear, then ashu, very soon shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. Very soon he goes through the stages of shraddha. Here refers to asakti, rati refers to bhava, and bhakti refers to prema. Shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. Anukramishyati means gradually, one after another, he will get. So basically what here Kapiladev is wanting to inform Mother Devahuti is that beyond your goal of destruction from faulty material association, beyond that stage, there is the stage of nishta, there is the stage of ruchi, there is the stage of asakti, there is the stage of bhava, and there is the stage of prema. So there is much more that the same association of devotees can award you apart from what you are desiring. So I would suggest that this bhakti or the association of devotees can certainly give you liberation and more. So why don't you consider this path of devotional service? That is the presentation here that Kapiladev is giving to Mother Devahuti. So here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the process of advancing in Krishna consciousness and devotional service is described here. The first point is that one must seek the association of persons who are Krishna conscious and who engage in devotional service. Without such association, one cannot make advancement. Simply by theoretical knowledge or study, one cannot make any appreciable advancement. One must give up the association of materialistic persons and seek the association of devotees, because without the association of devotees, one cannot understand the activities of the Lord. Mama virya samvido. Prabhupada is writing about that. Later Prabhupada writes, non-devotees cannot appreciate Krishna consciousness by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literature where the activities of the Lord are described. They think that these activities are fictional, manufactured stories, because spiritual life is not explained to them in the proper mood. So Prabhupada says that hearing Krishna Katha in itself is not sufficient, but it must be prasangat. It must be in a very elevating association. Otherwise, it cannot have that effect. That's why Prabhupada is writing here about the Mayavadis also hearing Krishna Katha, but not having any appreciable transformation. Then later Prabhupada writes, to understand the personal activities of the Lord, one has to seek the association of devotees, and by such association, when one contemplates and tries to understand the transcendental activities of the Lord, the path of liberation is open and he is freed. One who has firm faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes fixed nishta, and his attraction for association with the Lord and the devotees increases ruchi. Association with devotees means association with the Lord. The devotee who makes this association develops the consciousness for rendering service to the Lord, and then being situated in the transcendental position, he gradually becomes perfect. Anukramishyati. Gradually by... So the point is, at no point of one's devotional development is association of devotees dispensable. One should not think that once I reach a particular stage of devotional advancement, I can now not bother about taking association of devotees. Even at the stage of prema, he says that one has to seek association of devotees. Like that. So basically, this is Kapila Dev's presentation on how by bhakti one can achieve liberation and more. So her question was, how can I achieve liberation? He said, yes, liberation is possible and you get more. So now in the next two verses, 26 and 27, Kapila Dev is going to establish how your desire of liberation can also be achieved by Ashtanga Yoga and Jnana Yoga. But it's only liberation and not more. So, verse 26, he talks about the path of yoga. He says, Bhaktya pumanjata viraga indriyat drishta shrutan madra chananu chintaya Chittasya yatto grahani yoga yukto yatishyate rujubir yoga margaihi. So he says that Puman, the human being, jata viraga indriyad. Jata viraga, having developed a distaste or disgust, indriyad, with happiness derived out of sense gratification, indriya. Drishta shrutan. And it's not a temporary disgust. He is disgusted with sense gratification that is promised in this life and in next life in the form of going to swarga. Such a person. So this is a yogi. And then he says, Madrachana anuchintaya. So, he contemplates on my pastimes with devotion. So, this is true Ashtanga Yoga. True Ashtanga Yoga is not impersonal. True Jnana Yoga is also not impersonal, we will see. All these practices are personal practices. One has to accept the personal form of the Lord. Here it is mentioned the Ashtanga Yogi has to hear pastimes of the Lord with devotion. Madrachana anuchintaya. Chittasya grahane yattaha. And he makes an effort to control his mind. Yoga yukto, as he is engaging in yoga. Yatishyate rujubir yoga margair. And such practitioners in future will endeavor on the correct path of yoga as taught by me. Indicating, Kapila Dev is telling, what people are practicing now is not the correct path of yoga because the element of bhakti is not there. So they will not have the final, they will not achieve the final goal. And the process also becomes easy, very difficult because the limbs of bhakti are not there. So now I will teach them this path by which in future when they engage in this process being made easy by the process of, by the addition of the bhakti elements, then they can fairly easily achieve their goal of liberation. That's what Kapila Dev is indicating here. So here, so this person being disgusted with sense happiness, Jata viraga indriyad, he also madrachana anuchintaya, he also hears the pastimes and makes an effort to control his mind through the yoga process. Such a person in future, by accepting the correct path shown by me, he will easily achieve liberation. That's what Kapila Dev is indicating here. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur commenting on this, he says, having described pure bhakti, Kapila now describes yoga, the path of yoga, Ashtanga yoga. The yogi develops viraga indriyad, which means disgust from sense happiness in this life and next. And then being engaged in yoga and thinking of my pastimes and endeavoring to control the mind, he will endeavor by the correct path of yoga made easy because of mixing it with bhakti. In the future, men will endeavor on this path which I will establish. Which means, what was probably prevalent at that time in the name of Ashtanga Yoga was not the right path. And probably what goes on in the name of yoga in today's day and age is also not the right path. Because we know, Kapila Deva has very clearly given what is this yoga. In 28th chapter, he will give in much more detail. What constitutes this practice of yoga, he will explain it in the 28th chapter. Okay. So, Srila Prabhupada gives a slightly different understanding to the next two verses, 26 and 27, which he takes it as a logical continuation of Satam Prasangat verse. So, Satam Prasangat verse said, Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati. Gradually one makes progress in one's devotional life. And then Prabhupada writes, thus consciously engaged in devotional service in the association of devotees, which means a person gains distaste for sense gratification, jata viraga indriyat. By thus engaging in devotional service, one develops distaste. What is that? Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam. Both in this world and in the next, Drishta Shrutan. By constantly thinking about the activities of the Lord, Madrachana Anuchintaya. By constantly engaging in bhakti in the form of hearing Krishna Katha, gradually that practitioner of bhakti develops distaste for this material sense enjoyment. This process of Krishna consciousness is the easiest process of mystic power. Rijubir Yoga Margar. It's very easy path. When one is actually situated on the path of devotional service, he is able to control the mind. Chittasya Yatto. He can control the mind also. Like that Prabhupada explains this verse as a logical continuation of the previous verse. Whereas Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that this 26th verse, in 26th verse, Kapila Deva is speaking about the path of yoga, Ashtanga yoga, because that is also one of the types of Adhyatmic yoga, which is capable of giving liberation to the practitioners. How he is telling this is Ashtanga yoga? Because based on the question also that Kapila Mother Devahuti is going to ask in the further, he concludes. And also based on the subject matter he discusses subsequently. In that sense, he concludes this as Ashtanga Yoga. Like that. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the sincere devotee who associates with devotees gets the opportunity to hear and contemplate the subject of the pastimes of the Lord, and the result is that he feels distaste for so-called happiness in this or that world, in heaven or on other planets. This sublime situation is very easily attained by the easiest process, Bhakti Yoga. Rijubir Yoga Margaihi. A very suitable word used here is rijubihi, or very easy. There are different processes of yoga marga, attaining yoga perfection. But this process, devotional service to the Lord, is the easiest. Not only is it the easiest process, but the result is sublime. Everyone therefore should take this process of Krishna consciousness and reach the highest perfection of life. This is how Prabhupada explains. Then, further, కపిల దేవ్ కంటిన్యూస్. అసేవయాయం ప్రకృతేర్గుణానాం జ్ఞానేన వైరాగ్య విజృంభితేన యోగేన మయ్యర్పితయా చ భక్త్యా మాం ప్రత్యగాత్మానమిహావరుందే. నౌ ఇన్ దిస్ వర్స్ హీ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ జ్ఞాన యోగ. హీ సేస్ జ్ఞానేన వైరాగ్య విజృంభితేన, బై జ్ఞాన మేనిఫెస్టెడ్ విత్ డిటాచ్మెంట్. ప్రకృతేహే అయం ప్రకృతేహే గుణానాం అసేవయ వితౌట్ సర్వింగ్ ది ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ గుణాస్, విచ్ మీన్స్ హీ స్టేస్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ మెటీరియల్ సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ కాన్షియస్లీ. యోగేన అలాంగ్ విత్ ఎ సెకండరీ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ సమ్ యోగ యోగిక్ లిమ్స్ ఆల్సో, సో ఈ ప్రాక్టీసెస్ అష్టాంగ యోగ ఆల్సో యాజ్ అ సెకండరీ ప్రాసెస్ ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు కంట్రోల్ హిస్ మైండ్. మై అర్పితయా చ భక్త్యా అండ్ ఆల్సో హీ ప్రాక్టీసెస్ భక్తి యాజ్ అన్ ఆఫరింగ్ టు మీ, దట్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో ఎ సెకండరీ లింప్. ఓకే, సో వాట్ ఈస్ ద రిజల్ట్ ఆఫ్ సచ్ అ ప్రాక్టీస్? మాం ప్రత్యగాత్మానం ఇహ అవరుందే, ఇహ ఆఫ్టర్ దిస్ లైఫ్ ఆర్ ఇన్ దిస్ లైఫ్ అవరుందే హీ అటైన్స్. మాం ప్రత్యగాత్మానం, హీ అటైన్స్ మీ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ఇంపర్సనల్ బ్రహ్మజ్యోతి. ఓకే, సో దట్స్ వాట్ హీ సేస్ దట్ ఎ ప్రాక్టీషనర్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ జ్ఞాన యోగ ఆల్సో హీ ఆల్సో ప్రాక్టీసెస్ భక్తి యాజ్ అ సెకండరీ ప్రాక్టీస్ అండ్ ఆల్సో అష్టాంగ యోగ యాజ్ అ సెకండరీ ప్రాక్టీస్, బట్ ప్రైమరీలీ హీ ప్రాక్టీసెస్ ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ జ్ఞాన్ అండ్ బై సచ్ ఎ ప్రాక్టీస్ హీ అటైన్స్ ఇంపర్సనల్ లిబరేషన్. ఓకే, దట్స్ వాట్ దిస్ వర్స్ టాక్స్ అబౌట్. సో నౌ కపిల దేవ్ హ్యాస్ ప్రెసెంటెడ్ ఆల్ దీస్ త్రీ పాత్స్, ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి, ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ జ్ఞాన అండ్ ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ అష్టాంగ యోగ టు మదర్ దేవహూతి. నౌ షీ హ్యాస్ టు డిసైడ్ విచ్ పాత్, విచ్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ పాత్స్ షీ వాంట్స్ టు చూస్ టు అచీవ్ హర్ గోల్ ఆఫ్ లిబరేషన్. అట్ దిస్ పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ మదర్ దేవహూతి సేస్, కాచిత్వయ్యుచితా భక్తిర్ కీదృశీ మమ గోచర యయా పదం తే నిర్వాణం అంజసాన్వాష్ణవా అహం. షీ సేస్ కాచిత్వయి ఉచితా భక్తి. సో నౌ షీ ఈస్ నో లాంగర్ స్పీకింగ్ అబౌట్ లిబరేషన్. షీ సేస్ కాచిత్వయి ఉచితా భక్తి, వాట్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి షుడ్ ఐ perform, because in general you mentioned bhakti, but there must be different varieties of bhakti, because I am born in a female body, so what is the type of bhakti that I can perform so that I can attain your lotus feet. She says kachitvai uchita bhakti kidrishi mama gochara, is that practice possible for me? As Mother Kunti also says, Tata paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidanartam katam pashye mahistriyah. So this bhakti is such an exalted path, only the paramahamsas. How can we woman practice like that? She says, even though it is mentioned that there is no material disqualification to practice bhakti, స్త్రియో వైశ్యస్తథా శూద్రస్తేపి అంతి పరాంగతిం. సో కీదృశి మమ గోచర, వాట్ ఈస్ పాసిబుల్ ఫర్ అ పర్సన్ లైక్ మీ? యయా అంజసా అహం తే పదం అన్వాష్ణవ, బై విచ్ ఐ క్యాన్ అటైన్ యువర్ లోటస్ ఫీట్. నిర్వాణం, విచ్ ఇస్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ బ్లిస్, సో దేర్ ఫోర్ ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ లిబరేషన్, ఐ వాంట్ టు అటైన్ యువర్ లోటస్ ఫీట్ బై ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి. So tell me what kind of bhakti that I should perform to attain your lotus feet. So she has revised her goal now. Even though she was so strongly pushing for liberation in the beginning, so now by the association of Kapiladev and hearing from him submissively, slowly she is now progressing. And now she is asking, what kind of bhakti should I perform? Like that. Yeah. So as I told, Prabhupada translates 26 and 27 in line as logical continuation of the Satam Prasangad verse. So he doesn't translate 26 and 27 as talking about Ashtanga and Jnana Yoga. Krishna Jagadrakur takes it and explains it in that way. So that way individual verses are translated slightly differently by different acharyas. If it is the same translation and same purport, there is no need for another translation at all, or no need for another commentary at all. So even within the same parampara, acharyas, they translate and comment on individual verses differently. But in conclusion, if you see, the philosophy that is being established is the same. But individual verses can be translated in a different way. For that matter, for one verse, only one acharya gives 3-4 different possible understandings. So that is also possible. So here she is asking, kachitvai uchita bhakti. What is that bhakti? What kind of bhakti should I perform to achieve your lotus feet? So Srila Vishnu Chakradagur mentions, Kapiladev mentioned in verse 19, he said, of all the other paths, bhakti is the easiest way to develop attachment to the Supreme Lord. So after hearing this, after hearing the excellence of such a bhakti, Mother Devahuti is asking this question because she is now interested. What is possible to know and do for a woman like me to attain your lotus feet? What kind of bhakti should I perform? Kachitvai uchita bhakti, like that. So now, then she doesn't stop there. She says, Yo yogo bhagavadbano nirvanatmanstvayoditah kidrishakaticha angani yatastatvava bhodanam. Kidrishaha yaha yoga. And in your 27th verse, you spoke about this path of Ashtanga Yoga. What is this yoga? Tvaya uditah, that you spoke about. Bhagavad Banaha Nirvanatman, which is aimed at the Lord, or which involves worshipping the Lord with the goal of liberation. What is that yoga? What is that path of yoga? Can you please elaborate a little more on it? Kidrishaha. And what is this jnana? Yatas tattva avabodhanam, by which one understands the various tattvas. Katicha angani, how many limbs does it have? So which means, she says, please tell me the path of bhakti that I need to follow, but also mention about the paths of Ashtanga Yoga and Jnana Yoga. So here, why is she asking like this? Because it is mentioned here that it is said that an inquisitive person knows his own idea, but an intelligent person knows others' ideas as well. So, and one who is inquisitive, he wants to know, okay, what I need to do, you tell me. But an intelligent person understands others' ideas also. That's why she is inquiring about the paths of yoga and jnana also. So that her choice of bhakti should not be a sentimental choice. It must be a very well-informed choice. And also, it should be appealing to everyone. Even the if you want to ultimately we want to appeal to other practitioners also. So one that is possible only if you present their philosophy and systematically show how there could be a better practice to achieve a better result. Then it is little more appealing. Otherwise it will sound dogmatic. Anything that is dogmatic sounding, people don't want to accept. Especially in today's day and age, you know, people are quite rebellious. They don't want to accept you. They don't want you to tell what they have to do. So, and a dogmatic presentation is the last thing that they want to hear. So here, Mother Devahuti is telling, please speak about the path of Jnana and Ashtanga Yoga also. I would like to hear, but I am convinced that I want to practice bhakti, but at the same time I want to know the path of the other practitioners also properly. So that I am very convinced of the decision that I have taken. So this is the question asked by Mother Devahuti. So then she says, Tadetanme vijanihi yataham mandadir harehe sukam buddhyeya durbodam yosho yosha bhavadanugrahat. O Lord, therefore, etadme vijanihi, please tell this to me. Yata aham, so that I, mandadir yosha, so that an unintelligent woman like me, sukam buddhyeya, can easily understand durbodam, that which is very difficult to understand, bhavadanugrahat, by your mercy. I know that these subject matters are difficult to understand, but please explain it in such a way that an unintelligent person like me can easily understand. So consider my qualifications and accordingly you mold your presentation. Like that she is requesting Kapiladev. So that's what now Kapiladev is going to answer. So Maitreya continues. Maitreya uvacha vidithvartam kapilo maturittam jata sneho yatra tanva bijatah tatvam nayam yat pravadanti sankyam provacha vai bhakti vitana yogam. So he says, Kapila, ittam matuhu artam viditva. Thus understanding the purpose of his mother, why she has asked this. Jata sneho, being naturally affectionate because he has a relationship with his mother. Yatra tanva abhijata, because he was born from her body, he was naturally affectionate to her. Provachavai pravadanti sankhyam, describe what they call as sankhya. Provachavai pravadanti sankhyam. And what is the content of this sankhya? Yat tattva amnayam. In this there is enumeration of tattvas. The 24 elements are enumerated and described in detail. Bhakti vitana yogam, and also described that yoga which is filled with bhakti. Okay, so which means in response to our question, he is going to speak about bhakti and then the path of sankhya, enumeration of elements, and also he is going to speak about the path of ashtanga yoga. Okay, so now the rest of this chapter, 25th chapter, he is going to describe, he is going to answer her first question. What is the kind of bhakti that I should be performing to achieve your lotus feet? This was the first question asked by Mother Devahuti. So starting from verse number 32 till the end of this chapter, verse number 44, Kapiladev will answer this question. Then she asked, please speak about the path of Ashtanga Yoga. So this Kapiladev will describe in the 28th chapter. And then she also requested to speak about Jnana Yoga, which Kapiladev will describe in 26th and 27th chapters. Okay. So, how he is going to describe, what is the path of bhakti that Kapiladev describes or recommends that Mother Devahuti practice? So, Kapiladev is mentioning, he is going to mention what is the kind of bhakti that Mother Devahuti should practice to achieve his lotus feet. So, he says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Devanam Gunalinganam Anushravika Karmanam Sattva Evaika Manaso Vritti Swabhaviki Tuya Animitta Bhagavati Bhaktir Siddhir Gariyasi. Animitta Bhagavati Bhakti. Animitta means without any material desires. Anya Bilashita Shunyam. Devanam Karmanam. Devanam Karmanam means, Devanam here refers to the senses. Because the senses are controlled by sense devatas. So they are addressed here as Devanam Karmanam, means actions of the senses. Gunalinganam. Gunalinganam means with a desire to reveal the sense objects related to the Supreme Lord. Which means activities performed to realize the Supreme Lord. Activities of the senses with a desire to realize the Supreme Lord, which means sadhana bhakti. Anushravika, which conforms to the Guru's instructions, as in anushilanam. Sattva eva ekamanaso. Here sattva refers to the Supreme Lord. Sattva eva eka manaso means with the mind dedicated exclusively to the Lord and no one else, which means jnana karmadi anavritam. That bhakti must not be covered by jnana or karma. Vritti swabhaviki tuya. So this is actually the definition of sadhana bhakti. If you see, Kapiladev, Shri Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, the definition of sadhana bhakti is, Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhavasa sadhana bida, nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam hridi sadhyata. Kriti sadhya means actions of the senses. Sadhya bhava bhavet, which produces the stage of bhava, which means engaging the senses in actions with the purpose of developing bhava. Okay. So bhava means realization of the Lord. At the stage of bhava, there is realization of the Supreme Lord. Sa sadhana bida. That is the definition of sadhana bhakti. Engaging one's senses in those activities which can invoke the bhava within the heart. Okay. So this suggestion given by Kapiladev to Devahuti is nothing but sadhana bhakti. So, he says, further when you practice this bhakti, vritti swabhaviki, when such a practice becomes spontaneous, which means when it gets elevated to the level of bhava, he says, siddher gariyasi. Such a practice will give you a bliss which is much superior to liberation. At the stage of bhava, we see Kleshagni and Shubhada, they manifest at the stage of sadhana. Moksha Laguta Krit and Sudurlaba, they manifest at the stage of bhava bhakti. So he says that when you continue to practice this path, and when your vritti, when this practice reaches the level of spontaneity, vritti swabhaviki tuya, then he says, siddhiyasi, what you will experience will be much higher than the bliss of liberation. What to speak of liberation which you are desiring. Okay. So, that's what he is indicating here. We'll few very important points that Srila Vishnachakrita Thakur mentions about this verse. This verse, as we saw, is a redefining sadhana bhakti. So, here Srila Vishnachakrita Thakur says, In order to speak about yoga filled with bhakti, Kapila describes bhakti beyond the gunas. First, that which is animitta bhakti, the process suitable to the Lord, preferred by the Lord, about with Devahuti as in verse 28. Kachit tvai uchita bhaktir, kidrishi mama gochara. What is that kind of bhakti that I should perform to attain you? This was her question. In response, he speaks this verse. The bhakti is directed to the Supreme Lord. Sattve means unto the form of Shuddha Sattva, the Supreme Lord. And then, further he says that that is nishkama devotion to the Lord in which actions of the sense devatas who reveal the objects of the senses such as sound are directed to the Lord. The sense devatas, if their sanction is not there, the senses cannot perceive the sense object. This we have seen in the second canto. So, if those activities for sense perception are directed towards realizing the Supreme Lord, with the objective of realizing the Supreme Lord, then those activities are called activities of sadhana bhakti. Okay. So then he says, thus bhakti is action of the senses with the exclusive mentality of being a Vaishnava. I am a Vaishnava means I am a servant of the Lord, so I have to engage my senses in serving the Supreme Lord and his devotees. With that mood, the actions prescribed, the Navada bhakti, those activities if one performs, that is sadhana bhakti. Bhakti is not action of the senses which act on their own, but action of senses according to the mantra given by the Guru. The senses should have daily actions in accordance with the mantra concerning the Lord given by the Guru. Anushravika karmanam, that's what it means. It must be guided by a Guru. And he quotes from a book called Vishnu Rahasya. He says, how can one engage all the senses to realize the Supreme Lord? He says, utsargan mala mutrades chitta swastyam yato bhaved ata payur upastascha tad aradana sadhanam. He says, because the mind maintains a healthy state by excretion of urine and stool, the anus and urinary organ should be considered as senses engaged in Lord's service. So, if one does not for maintaining a healthy mind, the prana should be regulated. Steady mind. That's why pranayama is done, so that mind can be steadied and that steady mind can control the senses, pratyahara. But that pranavayu is affected by apanavayu. If the apanavayu is disturbed, pranavayu gets disturbed. And apanavayu is disturbed if one's bowel movements is not properly regulated. So, because the anus and genitals are used in properly regulating the excretion of waste, which controls the apanavayu, which in turn controls the pranavayu, which in turn controls the mind and senses. Therefore, the anus and genitals should also be considered as being engaged in Lord's service, if one uses them with that understanding. That's what here. So one might wonder, you know, how all the senses can be used in the service of the Supreme Lord. This is the way. Which means one should take their eating and regulation also very seriously, because it would affect one's steady practice of devotional service. If it is not regulated, then one's steady practice of devotional service will be affected. Like that. Thus, even these organs, by functioning in relation to bhakti, are to be considered part of vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Not just ears, eyes, tongue, even the karmendriyas should be understood to be part of vaidhi sadhana bhakti only. So, that is the meaning of devanam gunalinganam anushravika karmanam. Engaging the senses in such a way that it would lead to realizing the Supreme Lord at the stage of Bhava. Okay. So then he says that the bhakti with natural functioning, swabhaviki vritti of the senses is better than liberation. This we saw already. Swabhaviki vritti indicates the stage of bhava. At the stage of bhava, moksha becomes laghu, moksha lagutakrit. Okay. So that's what he is telling, that what you are aspiring for, that moksha will become very insignificant when this practice reaches the level of spontaneity, which means the stage of bhava. And one can reach that stage of spontaneity, which is bhava, in two ways. Either through the path of Vaidhi sadhana or through the path of Raganuga sadhana. And it is mentioned by Srila Vishnu Chakradakur that bhava which is reached, that stage of bhava bhakti which is reached through Vaidhi sadhana is slightly inferior compared to that very same, that bhava which is reached through Raganuga sadhana. Like that. Because the Vaidhi sadhana is still it is covered with Aishwarya. The awe and reverence is still there, and it is not completely sweet. So therefore it is mentioned that Vaidhi sadhana is in one sense little inferior to Raganuga sadhana. But whether to practice Vaidhi or Raganuga has to be properly guided by a guru. When the guru sees the qualification, then he offers the path. One has to cry in front of the Lord. Okay, what kind of bhakti is it? Okay, if that crying is spontaneous, it's at the stage of bhava. Because it's one of the sattvika vikaras that is mentioned, is crying, hair standing on end. So, expertise indicates spontaneity, in my understanding, if I understand it right. So, which means, which indicates that one has to reach the stage of bhava. And that could be reached either through the route of Vaidhi sadhana or Raganuga sadhana. So in that case, I would understand crying as being desperate for understanding, how it is very much vital in one's, how a guru is very much vital, as you mentioned, that even in searching for a guru. So Prabhupada also writes that unless one is inquisitive about one's spiritual progress, serious about one's spiritual progress, one does not need a guru. So crying in that sense, I would understand, because I have not read the book, so I cannot comment on it. Okay, just from one sentence. So I have to understand the context also. So my understanding would be, one should be understanding the importance of a guru in one's life. One should be with so much intensity crying for the association of a guru. That's my understanding. Okay. So now, let's try to understand, because this is a classic definition of Vaidhi sadhana bhakti or sadhana bhakti. Okay. So, or even bhakti for that matter, because it also talks about spontaneity, swabhaviki vritti also. So, this is the definition of pure devotional service. Okay. So, what you see at the bottom is the translation of this verse, and what you see on top is the definition of ఉత్తమ భక్తి యాజ్ గివన్ బై శిల రూప గోస్వామి, అన్యాభిలాషితా శూన్యం జ్ఞానకర్మాధ్యనావృతం ఆనుకూల్యేన కృష్ణానుశీలనం భక్తిరుత్తమ. సో ద వేరియస్ క్యారెక్టరిస్టిక్స్ ఆఫ్ ఉత్తమ భక్తి ఆర్ గివన్ హియర్. సో క్యాన్ యూ మ్యాచ్ వేర్ ఇస్ అన్యాభిలాషిత శూన్యం ఇండికేటెడ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వర్స్? అనిమిత్త, అనిమిత్త ఇండికేట్స్ అన్యాభిలాషిత శూన్యం. వేర్ ఇస్ జ్ఞాన కర్మాది అనావృతం ఇండికేటెడ్? సత్వ ఏవైక మనసో, విత్ మైండ్ డెడికేటెడ్ ఎక్స్క్లూసివ్లీ టు ద లార్డ్ మీన్స్ ఇన్ భక్తి, విచ్ మీన్స్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ కవర్డ్ బై అదర్ ప్రాసెసెస్ సచ్ ఎస్ జ్ఞాన కర్మ ఆర్ యోగ ఎక్సెట్రా. దట్ ఈస్ ఇండికేటెడ్ బై సత్వ ఏవ ఏక మనసో. వేర్ ఇస్ ఆనుకూల్యేన ఇండికేటెడ్? గుణలింగానాం, గుణలింగానాం మీన్స్ విత్ ద పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ రివీలింగ్ ది సెన్సెస్ రిలేటెడ్ టు ద లార్డ్, విచ్ మీన్స్ యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆఫ్ ద సెన్సెస్ విచ్ ఆర్ డిజైర్ టు రియలైజ్ ద లార్డ్. సో ఆనుకూల్యన ఇండికేట్స్ ద యాటిట్యూడ్, ఫేవరబుల్ యాటిట్యూడ్. దట్ ఫేవరబుల్ యాటిట్యూడ్ ఇస్ ఇండికేటెడ్ బై గుణలింగానాం విత్ అ డిజైర్ టు రియలైజ్ ద లార్డ్. సో దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఇస్ అనుకూల్యేన. వేర్ ఇస్ కృష్ణ ఇండికేటెడ్? భగవతి. అండ్ వేర్ ఇస్ అను ఇండికేటెడ్? అనుశ్రావిక. అండ్ వేర్ ఇస్ శీలనం ఇండికేటెడ్? దేవానాం కర్మాణాం, యాక్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద సెన్సెస్. శీలనం ఇండికేట్స్ ద సేమ్ యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆఫ్ ద సెన్సెస్. అండ్ వేర్ ఇస్ భక్తిర్ ఉత్తమ? భక్తి, భక్తి హియర్ రెఫర్స్ టు ఉత్తమ భక్తి. అండ్ వృత్తి స్వాభావికి టాక్స్ అబౌట్ భావభక్తి, దట్స్ యు నో ఎ స్పెషల్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ ఉత్తమ భక్తి. ఓకే, బట్ దట్స్ హౌ దిస్ వర్స్ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ ది డెఫినేషన్ ఆఫ్ ఉత్తమ భక్తి హియర్. అన్యాభిలాషిత శూన్యం జ్ఞానకర్మాధ్యనావృతం ఆనుకూల్యేన కృష్ణానుశీలనం భక్తిరుత్తమ. ఇఫ్ దట్ భక్తి హ్యాస్, ఇఫ్ ది యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆఫ్ దట్ భక్తి ఆర్ పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ విత్ స్పాంటేనియిటీ, విత్ స్పాంటేనియస్ అఫెక్షన్ ఫర్ కృష్ణ, దెన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అట్ ద స్టేజ్ ఆఫ్ భావ, అట్ విచ్ లిబరేషన్ బికమ్స్ ఇన్సిగ్నిఫికెంట్, ద బ్లిస్ ఆఫ్ లిబరేషన్ బికమ్స్ ఇన్సిగ్నిఫికెంట్. సో దట్స్ వాట్ దిస్ వర్స్ ఇస్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్. ఓకే, సో శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ హియర్ రైట్స్ ఇన్ ద పర్పోర్ట్, ద సెన్సెస్ లెడ్ బై ద మైండ్ యాక్ట్ అండర్ ది ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద డెమిగాడ్స్. So I'll just read, you can just tell me what Prabhupada is talking about. The senses led by the mind act under the influence of the demigods. Devanam karmanam, the demigods are the they are the ones who control or they sanction our sensory activities. When the service is ultimately aimed at the supreme personality of Godhead, the senses are in their natural position. Gunalinganam. Further, Prabhupada writes, the senses are called Rishika and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Rishikesha. Indirectly, all the senses are naturally inclined to serve the Supreme Lord. That is called Bhakti. Then, Kapiladev said that when the senses without desire for material profit or other selfish motives are engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord, one is situated in devotional service. Animitta Bhagavati Bhakti. That spirit of service is far better than salvation or Siddhi. Siddher Gariyasi. Like that. Then later Prabhupada says, when the senses are engaged either in material activities of sense gratification or in the activities of Vedic injunctions, there is some motive But when the same senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, there is no motive. That is called animitta, and that is the natural inclination of the mind. Like that. Animitta also he is talking about, and he is also talking about sattva evaika manaso. Jnana karmadi anavritam. Like that. The natural indication of the mind, inclination of the mind, just hold on. When the senses are engaged either in material activities of sense gratification or in the activities of the Vedic injunctions, there is some motive. But when the same senses are engaged in the service of the Lord and there is no motive, that is called animitta and is the natural inclination of the mind. Which means, natural inclination of the spiritual mind. Swabhaviki vritti. The swabhaviki vritti of the spiritual mind is to engage in Krishna's service. But when covered by material coverings, then that swabhaviki vritti is covered. Then we have to endeavor. Swacheshta. Then slowly one progresses. Shraddha. Ratir Bhakti Ranukrameshati. Then when we reach the stage of Bhava and Prema, then that material mind is not naturally inclined to Krishna. Sense gratification. This is spiritual mind. That is naturally. That's what we are going to see in the next verse now. Mind is different from chitta. So next, he says that how such a practice of, so he has given the path of Uttama Bhakti. And how such a path, and then he said that when this Uttama Bhakti is practice at the stage of spontaneity or bhava, liberation becomes insignificant. So how by such a practice one achieves liberation, he explains in this verse, 33rd verse. How is liberation achieved by practice of bhakti? So he gives this small sutra. So he says, Jarayatyashu yakosham nigirnam analoyata. That's all. Verse is only that much. This bhakti, jarayati. Jarayati means destroys. Ashu jarayati. Very quickly destroys. Kosham. Kosham here refers to the subtle body. When the subtle body is destroyed, then it is liberation. Because when the living entity moves from one body to another body, the subtle body also travels at the time of death. So at the time of death, the living entity is separated only from the gross body. He is not separated from the subtle body. Gatasun agatasunscha nanu shochanti pandita. It is explained that asuhu means life air. Gata asuhu means the life air is what carries the subtle body from one gross body to another gross body. Vayur ganda nivashayat. That verse. Utkramantam stitam vapi bunjanam va gunanvitam. No, not that. What is that verse? Anyway, that verse. Vayur ganda nivashayat. How the transmigration is described in that verse. Just the analogy that is given is, as air carries fragrance from one place to another. The air here in this analogy refers to the pranavayu. The gandha is also called vasana. That refers to the subtle body, because the subtle body is the repository of all kinds of impressions. Shariram yad avapnoti yad krapi yachapi utkramatishvaraha grihitvetani samyati vayurgandani vashet. So, when transmigration happens, the pranavayu carries the subtle body from one gross body to another gross body. So, gatasun, gata asuhum refers to the gross body from which the pranavayu leaves. Agata asuhu means that from which the pranavayu does not leave, which is the subtle body. Cha indicates the soul. Gatasun, agatasunscha, nanu shochanti pandita. A real intelligent person or a pandita does not lament for the gross body from which the pranavayu leaves, subtle body from which the pranavayu does not leave, and the soul. Why he does not lament? Because the destruction of gross body is inevitable. Every moment the gross body is getting destroyed. In this very same birth, our child body is no longer there. And after some time, our youth body will no longer be there also. So, the nature of gross body is, it naturally gets destroyed. And one does not lament for the destruction of subtle body, because destruction of subtle body means liberation. Which is very good. And one does not lament for the destruction of soul, because soul cannot be destroyed. So that's what Krishna starts his instruction to Arjuna by telling that gatasun agatasunscha nanu shochanti pandita. A learned person does not lament for loss of gross body or subtle body or the soul. Because destruction of gross body means liberation. So here he says, jarayatyashu ya kosham. This practice of bhakti very quick destroys the subtle body, which means liberation. She is seeking liberation. So he says, how bhakti destroys the subtle body and thereby causes liberation. That's what he is explaining here. Nigirnam analoyata. Just as digestive fire destroys, the same way. It's like a sutra. Okay. So now one should know how this digestive fire destroys. We slightly touched upon this morning. Three explanations are given. First thing is that digestive fire is very discriminative in destroying food. It does not destroy everything. Jatragni. The useless part of the food is burnt and excreted. But the useful, nutritious part of the food is used to nourish the body, nourish the dhatus, the blood, bone marrow, the flesh and so on. Everything is nourished by the food that we eat, and that is done by the digestive fire, which burns the useless part of the food, and the useful part of the food is used to nourish these dhatus. Similarly, bhakti when performed does not indiscriminately destroy the functioning of the senses completely. Rather, it destroys the material covering of the senses, which does not allow the practitioner to act on the spiritual platform. So the material component of the senses are destroyed. So the material component of the senses are destroyed and the spiritual aspect is activated. So that is compared to a digestive fire, bhakti. Second reason is that when one eats, one need not specially endeavor to digest the food. Isn't it? So here digestion is compared to liberation, destruction of subtle body. One need not specifically endeavor unless one has a digestion problem, so which is quite common in today's day and age. So if a healthy person need not make any additional endeavor to digest. You eat and over a period of time it digests naturally. So similarly, one who practices bhakti need not specifically or specially endeavor for liberation. Automatically, as a byproduct, liberation is achieved. That is the second explanation of this digestive fire. The third explanation is that when you eat, it's not that immediately it's digested. It takes 6 to 8 hours for food to get digested. So similarly, when one starts practicing bhakti, this liberation means destruction of subtle body. Destruction of subtle body means destruction of all the impressions, impressions of enjoyment, destruction of all the desires for enjoyment. All of this is gradually wiped out over a period of time. Krameṇaiva praliyeta Vishnu Bhakti Ratatmanam, Rupa Goswami says. Krameṇa, gradually it is destroyed. It doesn't happen immediately. Just like when we eat food, it's not that immediately it's digested and you're again feeling hungry. Some people have, in every 2 hours they have to eat something. You know, they can immediately digest. They have really good blazing digestive fire. And some people, if they eat today, in next 2 days also they don't feel hungry. Not so blazing. But nevertheless, even that person who has a blazing digestive fire also, he has to wait at least 2-3 hours to take the next meal. The point is, it's a gradual process. So destruction of the subtle body, meaning destruction of the impressions of enjoyment, destruction of the desires for enjoyment, destruction of that avidya, all of that is destroyed gradually, krameṇa. So that's what is, that's the significance of addressing this process of bhakti as digestive fire, because of the nature of that fire and the nature of destruction of subtle body by practice of bhakti, considering that bhakti is addressed here as digestive fire. So Ashu is relative. Compared to other processes, it is fast. So Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, bhakti is in a far higher position than mukti because a person's endeavor to get liberation from the material engagement is automatically served in devotional service. That's one of the reasons that we saw, right? Which reason was this? Which reason is Prabhupada talking about? Second one, when we eat, we need not separately endeavor for digesting that food. At the most, for 10 minutes we may lie down, left side down, LSD. Okay. But otherwise, it's not like after eating, you know, we keep eating a lot of churan and this and that, you know, to digest the food. You know, that kind of endeavor is not needed for a healthy person, at least. The example is given here that the fire in the stomach can digest whatever we eat. If the digestive power is sufficient, then whatever we can eat will be digested by the fire in the stomach. Similarly, a devotee does not have to try separately to attain liberation. That very service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the process of liberation, because to engage oneself in the service of the Lord is to liberate oneself from material entanglement. Later Prabhupada says, the impersonalist undergoes severe penances and austerities to attain mukti, but the bhakta, simply by engaging himself in the bhakti process, especially in chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, immediately develops control over the tongue by engaging it in chanting and accepting the remnants of foodstuff offered to the Personality of Godhead. As soon as the tongue is controlled, naturally all the other senses are controlled automatically. Sense control is the perfection of the yoga principle, and one's liberation begins immediately as soon as he engages himself in the service of the Lord. Like that. So therefore, he is giving assurance to Mother Devahuti that don't think that I am talking about all the other benefits other than the benefit that you are desiring. The benefit that you are desiring, that is liberation, you will definitely get, and this is how bhakti bestows that liberation. Just like digestive fire digests the food. Like that, he gives assurance to Mother Devahuti that definitely liberation is guaranteed. Don't worry. And then he says that, and then he advertises, but then I told you that, of course, we are running short of time. Okay, we will end here. Srila Prabhupada ki.